coming of Jesus is described as light breaking into the darkness. There's several examples we could look at for this. I want to show you a couple before we end up in John chapter 1. And the first example is taken from Luke chapter 2. I'll read one verse there. But let me catch you up with this story. This is one of my favorite parts of the Christmas story. And it's after the birth of Jesus, when Mary and Joseph take him to the temple. He's circumcised and they're presenting him to God as the law prescribes. So they're dedicating little baby Jesus to God and they take him into the temple. And there's this old man in the temple, this saint, who's been walking with God for many years. You guys remember this story? Simeon? And Simeon had a special gift from God. God spoke to him and told him that he would not die until he saw with his eyes the Messiah. I mean, why did God give him that gift? I don't know. But this was God is just good, isn't he? And he doesn't always give the same gifts to everybody, and that's not unfair. God is God, we're not. He's the potter, we're the clay. He can do whatever he wants with his children. But to this saint, an old man who was a believer in God, he was waiting on the Messiah to come. See, not everyone in Israel rejected Jesus. Amen? The disciples, there were others. Simeon was one of those men who was waiting on the kingdom of God to come. His heart was burning for the Lord. He was in the temple and he looked up and he saw a young couple coming in with a little baby. I see Olivia back there. All right, this picture, get in your mind. Here's Mary and Joseph coming in with the baby. And I don't know how this happened, but the Lord in that moment showed him, that's him. That's the one you've been waiting on. And Simeon, you know, he didn't stand there and say, what? They're poor. I mean, they're offering the turtle doves instead of the lamb. They're not well off. And maybe a baby, you know, and wrapped up here didn't look like what he had in mind. But he ran over to that couple and did something that freaks moms out, you know, and he scooped the baby up in his arms. I mean, imagine Mary and Joseph here. Here's this old man in the temple, and he comes and takes the baby, and he begins to maybe cry, but he begins to praise God. And he says this in Luke 2:29, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. He's looking at Jesus, the baby, when he says this. My eyes have seen your salvation that you've prepared in the presence of all peoples. And then he says this about Jesus. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. He's a light. My eyes are looking on your salvation. He's a light of revelation for the Gentiles and he's a light for glory to your people Israel. That man saw something, brothers and sisters, in that encounter with God. He recognized that God was shining light into the world with the coming of Jesus. Amen. Do you recognize that the light has come today? Many don't. Many walk like zombies. Mind, you know, just on your mind, on your business at hand. You know, the hustle and bustle of the season we talk about. Is that you? Or do you know the light? Recognize what God has done, and therefore you have joy. Amen. There's another example from when Jesus grows up. He moves his center of ministry to Galilee, kind of a questionable location, Galilee of the Gentiles. And when Matthew is telling us about Jesus moving his ministry to Galilee, he says, he stops the story to say, hey, this fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9. Christmas story connection there, Isaiah 9. And he says this, Jesus ministering in Galilee fulfills Isaiah 9. He says, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. And then here's what he says from Isaiah. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That is an awesome passage, and that has been on my heart this season. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. On the people who were just rotting in death, under the shadow of the gloomy despair and depression and discouragement of death, on them a great light has dawned. We have seen the light. And so, just like Simeon recognized at Jesus' birth, here's the baby, and he says, "Hey, God has sent a light to us." And then later, as Jesus grew up, when he entered the region of Galilee, a light has shone on that region. What I'm wanting us to see this morning, guys, is that the Bible talks about Jesus, not only his birth, but his coming into the world, but also his coming into a region like Galilee as the entrance of light into darkness. This is so encouraging to us because Christ has broken into our city. We are a city that has churches, right? We have a people. God has a people in this city. Light has broken into Conway, to use biblical language here. You know, there's still places on earth where there's no witness, where there's no light. There are many people groups around the world who have never heard the gospel. They have no Bible in their language. There's no church in their people group. They couldn't hear about the gospel even if they wanted to. Do you know that is the reality for many people? And thus, missions. We go out. But whenever someone comes to the Lord and two or three are gathered in that region that used to be unreached, light has broken into that darkness. And that's just what God is up to in the earth until the whole world hears, until this gospel goes and travels through into every people group and light breaks into the darkness. I think it's interesting here too that right after Matthew says, "Hey, Jesus moved to Galilee," and that fulfills Isaiah's prophecy that those who are sitting in darkness, on them a great light has shone. Then he says, and Jesus began to preach. The light coming into the world comes through preaching. Preaching what? You know, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, and you can have success in your business if you just give yourself to Jesus. No, what did he say? Jesus began preaching, saying what? Repent. Repent of your sins, because in my coming, in my ministry, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Good news. Turn from your sins because the kingdom of God has broken into your world. That is what Jesus preached. He called people to turn from living in the darkness and being satisfied with what this world offers, even success and money and things that many Christians try to make the gospel all about. Leave that and be satisfied with the light. Leave what the world calls successful and find joy in the presence of God that has broken into our midst through Christ. Amen? The gospel comes and it is preached and the light shines in the darkness. Praise God. Has the light broken into your family? Has the light broken into your heart? Praise God for that. Those are two examples that we could look at, but John's gospel in chapter 1 is maybe the clearest example. We'll turn there and talk about the Word that became flesh, this light that was coming into the world. John is going to use the word light several times in this passage, and we're going to learn about what this means, that the light has come. Look with me there. Let's just take the first four verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. We learn about the light that the Christmas story talks about. The light has come. Simeon said when he saw baby Jesus, God, you've sent a light of revelation to the Gentiles and a light of glory to your people Israel. When Jesus moved to Galilee, it said, on these people a light has dawned. Now we learn who the light is. We learn what kind of light it is. And I want to tell you that it is a divine light. The light that has broken into the world, brothers and sisters, it's not just some mystical way of talking about hope. It's not just poetry. No more darkness, now it's light. You know, it's not just wishful thinking. A motivational speaker, you know, think about the light, not the darkness. What we're seeing is that the light is God Himself who has come into the world. Amen? The light is God Himself stepping into our world. How do I see that? Look, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. Okay, with means separation. Jesus, the Word, is a separate person from the Father. You see, there's some bad theology that says the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, you know, it's just one person. And sometimes He shows up as Father. Sometimes He shows up as Son. Sometimes He shows up as Holy Spirit. That's called modalism. It's a heresy. At Jesus' baptism, we see the Father talking, this is my beloved Son. We see the Son, you know, coming up out of the water. And we see the Spirit coming down on the Son. It's not just sometimes Father, sometimes... Three persons separate from each other. The Word was with God. But then what does it say? The Word was God. So Jesus and the Father are separate persons, but one essence, united as one God. Three persons, one God. This is the biblical view of God. And so the light that has come is none other than the Son of God. The Word was God. God stepped into the world. All of the brokenness, all of the mess that we see on the evening news and all around us in our neighborhoods and schools and in our own hearts, God stepped into this. Can you be encouraged by that this morning? That God did not leave us to ourselves, but He came as light, shining, piercing, exploding into our darkness. Christ has come, and this light is divine light. God is near. So it's not just light from God, but God is our light coming near to us. Amen? In fact, in the Old Testament, the Old Testament referred to God as the light. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? So the person that the Old Testament called Yahweh, God, the light, has come in the person of Jesus, the light. The Lord is my light. If we continue in John 1, we read 5. Verse 5 shows us that this light is a conquering light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There's not a lot we even need to comment on that verse. The light of God is unconquerable. Cannot overcome it. There is no contest. If we continue, look at verses 6 and following. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is John the Baptist. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light. He came to bear witness about the light. And so the next thing we learn about this light that is broken into the world, it is a light that has been proclaimed, that has been preached about, testified. John the Baptist had a ministry to point people to the light in Christ. Now, I won't make you turn there, and I don't have it on the screen, but if you want to jot down in your notes Luke 1, 76 to 79, this is talking about John the Baptist pointing to the light. An interesting passage in Luke 1. You remember Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist? He was stricken mute by the angel Gabriel when he didn't believe that he and his wife, Elizabeth, who were old, they were going to have a son who was going to go before the Lord as a messenger to prepare the way. And
you know, these 9 months he's mute. He can't talk. And when the baby's born, and then on the day of his circumcision, they come to give the name to the child, and they're going to name him Zechariah after his father. And they say, no, 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 it's John. And they ask Zechariah, nobody in your family's named John? And he writes down on the tablet, his name is John. I learned my lesson. I'm going to do what the angel said. Hadn't spoken in 9 months. And suddenly his voice returned. And what did he use it for? To gripe and complain, right? He got on Facebook and said, 9 months with no talking. That's the way we do. We complain to the world. He used his voice. And he began to praise God. He began to be filled with the Holy Spirit and praise God. And as he was talking about God's salvation breaking in, he looked at his little baby, John, and he said, you know, and you, child, he began to prophesy about his child. He says, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation to His people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So even with John the Baptist, his dad, Zechariah, the Spirit comes on him and he says, light is coming. Do you see it? Have you ever seen how often the Scriptures use light in the Christmas story and beyond? This light is a proclaimed light. We don't have John the Baptist with us today, but people are still preaching and showing us who the light is. Amen? And I want to, I'm not John the Baptist, but as a preacher of the gospel, I proclaim to you this morning that the light has come. Look to Jesus. He's a light that comes to people through the preaching of the gospel. And then finally, if we look back in John 1, verse 9, and then we skip down to verse 14. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. And then down in verse 14, it tells us about the light coming into the world. And the Word, who was with God and who was God, He's the uncreated Creator from the beginning, the Word became flesh and dwelt or tabernacled among us. And we have seen His glory. Glory is the light. The blinding light, the Shekinah light and glory of God, we've seen it in Jesus. The Word, the light, verse 9, was coming into the world. Thank you, God. You're going to give us light. What's it going to look like, I wonder? The Word became flesh. Jesus didn't look amazing. There was nothing special about Him. A lot of people say, if I had lived in that time, I would recognize Jesus. I would just look in His eyes and know, you're the Son of God. Many people looked in His eyes and saw nothing. Isaiah says there's no beauty in Him, right? But those who are given eyes to see, not with physical eyes, but with the eyes of faith, saw that this man is the Messiah, the Son of God. Peter, you know, Jesus asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, you're pretty smart, Peter. No, he said, you're blessed because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Peter, you can't know who I am through physical means. But my Father in heaven has revealed to you the light. So, the light has come into the world. Brothers and sisters, you can think about the incarnation. That word means the taking on of flesh. Carne, carne asada, the Mexican restaurant. It's meat, right? The Word became meat. He put on meat. He put on flesh. He put on humanity. He stayed God, but He added to His godness, manness. He added to His deity, humanity, and became the only God-man. I mean, this is systematic theology. This is who is God. This is Jesus. And so in one person, fully God, fully man, He came into our world, light and darkness. The incarnation, the taking on of flesh, that is the greatest, most wonderful miracle in the Bible. God Himself remaining God, but adding to His divinity true humanity in the person of Jesus. It's like fitting the whole ocean in a cup one preacher said. All of God in a man. The light has come to save us, brothers and sisters. It is a rescuing light. He has stepped into the darkness to rescue us. Now, this is good news. That's why we call it the gospel, good news. But not everybody was excited about the light coming into the world. I want to show you that the light of Christ divides people. Not everyone is happy that God's light is shining on us because we like the darkness, because it's easier to hide in darkness than in the light. And to a people who have had their hearts turned away from God in sin and rebellion, we jump in the bushes when God comes walking. Our first forefather, Adam, and his wife dove into the bushes to hide. They found a dark place when the light came in. That's what sin has done. And so in John 1 here, as John is just talking up the light, the Word is becoming flesh, the light is coming into the world. He wants us to understand that not everybody was happy about the light breaking in. Look with me to see that the light is resisted. Look at verse 10 and 11. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. So we see that the light is resisted. This is the sad truth of our wicked response to God's love. As glorious as the news is that the light has come, because we are by nature slaves of sin, we resist the light until the grace of God gives us willing hearts to receive the light. We are hiding from God in our wickedness until God by grace softens our resistance and woos us, draws us to see the beauty of His light in Christ. Verse 10, the Creator walked among His creation unnoticed due to the blindness of our hearts. You will gather with people for Christmas who don't know Jesus, most likely. You will see people in the stores and in the community, and they don't know the Creator. He is unnoticed because of the blindness of our hearts. We were just like them, by the way. We're not better than them. But the grace of God has opened our eyes. Amen? Do you remember when you sat in the darkness? When you didn't get excited about Jesus? When you didn't see what the fuss was all about? Do you remember when your highest delight in your life was not the Lord? Maybe that's your situation today. Because salvation is not just, you know, doing business with God. It results in a heart that loves God. The greatest commandment is not to come and get baptized, right? The great commandment is to love the Lord your God. So conversion changes our hearts so that our great treasure and delight is God. We love Him now. We hid from Him in the darkness, and now we run into the light. Do you see? And so the Creator walked unnoticed in the world because of the blindness of our hearts. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, it says, the god of this world, the devil, has blinded the hearts of unbelievers. Blinded the hearts of unbelievers so they don't see the light of the gospel. In a minute, though, we're going to read a couple verses down from there and see the good news. But worse than being blind to God, look at verse 11. He came to His own, Israel. Jesus, Messiah, came to His own people, the people who were separated from the world. They're waiting for Him. Oh, come, Emmanuel. Come and ransom captive Israel. We're waiting on Messiah. 400 years with no prophet. We're waiting. And they were under the oppression of the Roman Empire, and they wanted a military, political general to come, a Messiah. They wanted a King David to come beat this Roman Goliath and set them free. But when Jesus was the one who came, most of them
rejected him. He wasn't coming to free them from Rome. He was telling them to love their enemies. And that they must be born again. Jesus was rejected by his own. Do you see that the light has broken into the world? This is the best news. But yet, the light was resisted. We have resisted him. If you want to know why that Jesus was rejected, if you hold your place in John 1 and you turn over to John 3, John 3, right before or right after the famous John 3:16, if you reach down in verse 19, it says, "This is the judgment. The light has come into the world and people love the darkness rather than the light." Because, why, John? Why did we love the darkness rather than the light? Because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light lest his works should be exposed. When we sin in the dark. We don't want someone turning on the lights and seeing what we're up to. And so when the light has broken into the world, he was resisted, and that's why Jesus went to the cross. The hatred of creation was lashed out against our Creator. And we nailed him to a cross. We didn't drive the nails, but our sin is responsible. He died for us. What love is this? He died for his enemies and rose again to give us salvation. If we stay here in John 1, we see in verse 10 and 11 that the light is resisted. But I want to praise God with you this morning. If you keep reading in verse 12 and 13, we see that the light is received. So the light is resisted by some, but the light is received. Look at verse 12 and 13. "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." And then he real quickly wants to qualify who gets the glory for us becoming children. How can dead sinners receive the light? How can we who hated the light suddenly love the light? How can we who were diving in the bushes now come running to God? It's not because we're good, and it's not because we can make good choices. John immediately, after he says, hey, some people received him and they were given the right to become children of God. And now he wants to tell us how that can happen. Verse 13, we were born not of blood, not of your bloodline, your Jewishness, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. It's not the glory for you and I. We don't become children of God just through our will and our merits and our good works and our choices, but of God. Do you see that? God gets the glory. He saves people. He shows up in our dark hearts and shines the light on us. And he woos us. And suddenly, instead of hating the light, with a new heart given from God, we love the light and we come running to the light. You must be born again. That's the call. It's not, here's a bunch of hoops for you to jump through to become a Christian. It's when you hear the gospel preached, the Holy Spirit brings what is dead to life, and you suddenly find yourself believing the gospel and loving the God that you resisted before. Does that make sense to you? Salvation is a glorious miracle. We had hard hearts, and God softened them. Praise Him! You don't still hold on to the fact that it was all you, do you? That you, I mean, the Bible says we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Did you raise yourself to life and come running to Jesus? No, He found you dead and He breathed life into you. So the glory is for Him. Amen? You didn't save yourself and I didn't either. The Lord has come and has saved us. The light is now received. How do we experience this light in our daily lives? I'm going to close just showing you four ways that this light is experienced by us. Oh, I forgot to... I told you I was going to come back to 2 Corinthians 4. The devil blinds us to the light, but look what happens in verse 6. "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So the same God who spoke and said, let there be light... and there was light. He also speaks in our hearts
and raises us to life. And when we see the light, look at the last part of this verse, guys. Where do we experience God's light? In the face of Jesus Christ. You can't experience God's light through another religion, another way, your own self merits, and I'm going to buckle down and do better. You only see the glorious light through the gospel, in the face of Jesus. Jesus is where God gives us the light. And so this light, believers, the first way we experience this light is as a light of truth. I want to encourage you this morning. The light that has come into the world shines on our hearts to tell us truth. The light has dispelled the darkness from our minds and has illuminated us with divine truth. The truth, or the light, is a truth-revealing light. He shines brightly to expose the lies of the devil in your heart and the myths of this world and the falsehoods of our own flesh and mind. Let me read that again. His light exposes the lies of the devil that we had believed and the myths of this world and the falsehoods of our own flesh and mind. So the light of God shows us the truth about who God is and about who we are. We know who we are because the light shines truth on us. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We hear lies all around us. The devil is the father of lies. This world tells lies about, you know, sin and God wants you to be happy and do this, and it doesn't matter this. And our own hearts, the Bible said in the prophets, the heart is deceitful above all things. There used to be a country song said, the heart won't lie. You guys remember that? The heart won't lie. Nice, right? Well, that's a lie. It just did. The heart is deceitful above all things. It twists. And it takes God's truth and says, I can do this, you know, this is okay. Who can know it? Then it says, God, I, the Lord, search the heart and minds. The light has come to show us truth. We can leave the lies behind, and through the Word of God in the Scriptures, Jesus shines light on us and teaches us. Amen. He's also experienced by believers as a light of guidance. In John 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus shines light on our steps. He guides us in the will of God. You say, well, God, you just left me here to figure out life on my own. I saw a meme on Facebook, it had this guy and it said, life is like a game of chess. Then the next frame it said, I do not know how to play chess. Do you feel like that? Life is like chess. I've never learned how to play chess. The Lord has not left us on our own to figure this out by ourselves. Amen? The light has come to shine light on our steps. That's why in the Psalms, Psalm 119, 105, it says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I'm not going to leave you in darkness. I will shine the light of life. We're not left to figure out God's will on our own. He shines the light. Now listen, here we want Him to shine all the way down the road, don't we? You do. I know you do. You want God to not just tell you the next step. You want Him to give you all the steps so that you can then leave God and go do it. And God said, that's not my will for you to, you know, leave me and go off and do. I want you to depend on me for every step. God is only going to shine light on one step at a time most days. And you got this big decision, and God is just saying, here's what's next. But I want to know what's, you know, down the road. And God is not obligated to tell us what's down the road. He wants us to trust Him. And so He guides us His way. I think my favorite way we experience the light is this next one, the light of fellowship. We see in the Bible that the light comes to us and it's spoken of as the light of God's face shining on us. We who were in darkness and hated the light, now we are lovers of God through Jesus, we who believe. And the light of God's face is our greatest treasure. It's His presence. It was always that way. In the book of Numbers, God told Aaron, the high priest, here's the blessing I want you to bless Israel with. Anybody remember the blessing Aaron was supposed to speak over Israel? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. So God says, Aaron the high priest, here's the blessing I want my people to hear spoken over them. The Lord make His face shine upon you. We are the people who get to know God. David cried out in the Psalm 4 verse 6, lift up the light of Your face on us, O Lord. We don't just want Your hand and what You give us. We want fellowship with You, God. Guys, listen, this Christmas story goes somewhere. Light has come. Jesus was born so that He could die for our sins, so that we could have fellowship with God, so His face could shine on us. Psalm 89:15. Look at this. Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of Your face. Here's who's blessed. Here's the people who are blessed. It's the people who know the light of God's face. Do you know God? Do you walk with Him? This is our great honor to have fellowship with God. 1 John 1:6-7, John wrote, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, what will the result be, John? We will have fellowship with one another in the church. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So the light that has penetrated the darkness is not only a light of fellowship with God, but now we can have fellowship with people. We used to hate people. But if you're a Christian, there is a love in your heart for the people of God. Now, some days you may not feel that too strongly, right? Because people get on our nerves. And remember, we're a people too. We get on other people's nerves, right? But there is a love in the heart of believers for one another. That's a sign that you're saved, by the way. So very, very important. Red flags going up. I hate people. I don't want to ever be around the people of God. You're not a Christian. The light has broken into the world. And we have fellowship with God. His face shines upon us. But if we walk in the light, we're going to have fellowship with each other. This is the blessing of fellowship. How long will this fellowship last? I'm glad you asked. In the book of Revelation, look at this. And the city has no need for the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. And His servants will worship Him. They will see His face. And night will be no more. That's where all this is going, to the new heavens and the new earth, where we will see God, and there's not even going to be a need for a sun and moon to shine, because the glory of God is the light. Amen? And night will be no more. So this leads us to our conclusion. It's a light of holiness. There's a warning for us now. A warning and a call. In Christ, we are children of light, so we are warned not to walk in darkness. 1 John 1:5, God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and don't practice the truth. So if the light has flooded your soul, there's going to be holiness as a result. More and more, day by day, as the Spirit sanctifies us, we're going to look more and more like Jesus. And so the warning to us is to turn away from sin and come to the light of Christ. If you're not a believer, I want to encourage you this morning to turn away from your sins. God will judge sinners, but God has judged His Son in the place of sinners. Turn from your sin. Look to Christ this morning in faith and repentance. Believe the gospel. Count Jesus' death as enough for your forgiveness. Bow to His Lordship. Embrace Him as the delight and joy of your life. Saints this morning, believers, Ephesians 5 tells us to walk as children of light. We used to be darkness and now we are light in the Lord. You got things in your life that if you had a spiritual nose to smell, that thing smells like darkness and not light. It just has a... How do you describe it? You got things in your heart and your life, things you're doing that just have a fragrance of the night. Paul warns the Christians in Thessalonians 5, we are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. So the warning for the believers is, hey, this light has exploded into our world. And conversion means that we can come into the light and enjoy fellowship with God. But the warning and the challenge to us is to walk in the light. Since we are light in Christ, then walk in the light. Go be who you are. Again, from Romans, right, in 6. Since God has made you light, then live in the light. Amen? Go bear some fruit. If you got the darkness hanging around, saints, we need to throw some of that off as we come to the presence of the light. Brothers and sisters, set the joy of this light, this salvation, before our eyes. Christ has come into the world, and those who sit in darkness have seen a great light. Let's bow together. Oh God, our Savior, we just humble before you this morning. We're thankful for the light. You didn't leave us in the darkness. You didn't leave us to ourselves. You didn't abandon us without hope, but you have come. The light has come in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, you loved us so much. You gave your Son. We see your grace. We see your love in the face of Jesus Christ. And Lord, you called us out of our darkness, out of sin, to walk in the light. Lord, we're thankful this morning, and I pray that, Lord, each one here would be able to rejoice no matter what they're going through, no matter their circumstances, the situation they find themselves in. Lord, I pray that truth would explode in our hearts today and there would be that kernel of joy that is founded on you. God, we want the light of your face to shine on us. We don't want to just be saved to try to run from you and hide from you again. Lord, we want to walk with you. We want to walk with you. We want to be people of prayer who are speaking with you face to face. We want to be people of your word, oh God. Walking in the scriptures and the light that you shine on our path and you guide us through your word. We want to be people who love your church and have fellowship with one another as we walk in the light. Lord, we want to be people who are used by you to take this light to the nations. We pray for the nations this morning, God, for those who have never heard the gospel. They have nothing to celebrate today. And nations like China, Lord, where we've been hearing of our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted and put in prison for their faith. Lord, there is darkness in so many places. We're asking you, Lord, to let the light of your face shine through Jesus, through the preaching of the gospel. Bring your people into the light.